భరతం భాదినం భాయ వివాదసిం సంభాద బుభో భవంతి కుర్వంతి చేశాం ముహురాత్మ మోహం తస్మై నమో అనంత గుణాయ భూమ్నే. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, acting from within the core of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views. He causes them to forget their own souls while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing amongst themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. The Supreme Brahman, Krishna, is the ultimate resting place and source of everything. Everything is done by him. Everything belongs to him. And everything is offered to him. He is the ultimate objective, and whether acting or causing others to act, he is the ultimate doer. There are many causes, high and low, but since he is the cause of all causes, he is well known as the Supreme Brahman, who existed before all activities, who is one without a second, and has no other cause. I therefore offer my respects unto him, purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original cause, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Even this material world, which is conducted under the modes of material nature, is caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who therefore also has an intimate relationship with the material world. If the material world were not a part of his body, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Cause, would be incomplete. Therefore we hear, Vasudeva Saravam Iti Samahatma Sudurlabaha. If one knows that Vasudeva is the original cause of all causes, he becomes a perfect Mahatma. Sometimes it is very inconceivable to try to understand how is it that Krishna is the cause of all causes? It does not say that he is the cause of some causes or most causes, but he is the cause of all causes. Sarva karana karanam. And at the same time, we understand that Krishna is Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, that he is the well-wishing friend of all living beings, Sarva Bhutanam, not just some living beings, not most living beings, but he is the intimate well-wishing friend of all living beings, and he is the cause of all causes. So then how is it that we find sometimes in our own lives and in lives of others we are near and dear to, or even others that we just hear about, that such terrible pain, such terrible suffering comes upon us? After all, not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. and he is the best well-wishing friend for us. So why would he allow to take place great, terrible catastrophes? Yesterday morning, many of us, we were awakened quite early in the morning, not to our alarm clocks, but to the rumbling of the earth. Hearing things falling from the shelves, hearing the ground shaking, our houses shaking. Actually, it really was an alarm clock. What is the meaning of clock? Clock is the apparatus that signifies time. Krishna says, time I am, devouring all living beings. So the clock is what represents time in our life. And every time we see the second hand, the midden hand, or the hour hand moving, we can understand that this is the Murti of Krishna showing how he is taking away our life. Have you ever thought of a clock in this way? It is Krishna's Kala Murti, symbolically represent. And it is a fact. With every movement of every little or big hand on that clock, your life is decreasing. But unfortunately, we do not recognize it. We look at the clock and we think, I have an appointment in half hour, and I have to somehow or other race against the clock to meet my appointment in time. Or we're waiting for someone that we love to meet, and we think, oh my God, still 3 more hours till he will come. Somehow or other I have to tolerate all the slow movements of this clock as I am anxiously waiting for my friend or my loved to return. In this way, we are so much captivated by attractions and aversions, hankerings and lamentations of this world, that we simply observe the clock accordingly. But underlying it all, what we don't remember, what we're not able to see, is our lifespan is decreasing. I have 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour less to live in this world. Every time anything moves on that clock. And what am I doing with my life? How am I spending each precious moment? This is the question sincere, spiritually minded people ask. How am I utilizing each moment for the best possible purpose in life? But we are so caught up in the temporary transformations of this world that throughout our life, most of our human energy, we forget, we're unconscious of reality and truth. We are simply captivated by an illusion. And what is that illusion? That I am this body, that I am the proprietor, and that I am the enjoyer. And in pursuit of this illusion, all of these precious moments of human existence are wasted. But Krishna is very merciful. Because sometimes he gives us an alarm. The alarm is meant to wake you up. The alarm is meant to save you from death. These are the two functions of alarm: to wake you up to the reality and to serve and to save you from death. We have little alarms in our houses, and when we're sleeping, we're actually as good as dead, for all practical reasons. Sometimes we dream, but usually we're simply unconscious. Huh? Unconsciousness is qualitatively one with death. The only difference between sleep and death is one is you wake up in the same body, and the other is you wake up in a different body. That's the only difference between sleep and death. But the consciousness is just ignorance in a state of tamaguna. Ignorance means we forget who we are. Even in the material plane, when we sleep, we forget who we are. When we wake up, we remember, oh, I am this, somehow, I am this. And I have so many responsibilities and family members and everything, I've forgotten all night, but this alarm, grum, 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 has woken me up. Ah, now I'm awake. I'm alive, and I know who I am. So this is one purpose of an alarm, to wake you up, to give you a remembrance of who you are, and take you out of ignorance. That type of alarm we hear every morning. But there are other alarms, fire alarms. They are meant to save you from pain, destruction, and death. When there's a fire in the building, you're ignorant that your house, you're ignorant that your office is burning down. You don't know. So somebody who's merciful from another place in the building, they pull the alarm, and it starts going, and you think, oh, the building's on fire. I have to get out of this place. I'm going to be burned to ashes if I don't get out of this place. That's a fire alarm. It's the only thing in my lecture these orphan children understand. Have to say something for their benefit. Medieval. So this alarm is coming and sounding to warn us that this place is on fire and you get out or you will be destroyed. Otherwise, without that alarm, we just go on with our business and we burn to ashes. So yesterday, we were woken to an alarm. The earth was trembling. We were just such a small fraction of a way away from total destruction, from death. Just a few miles away. What is the figure now? 40,000 people. Within this 30 seconds, they were killed. And if this trembling that came into our very homes was just a slightly tiny bit more, we would have been one of those statistics. But we were fortunate. Not fortunate that we didn't die. Because death will come today or tomorrow anyway. Whether it comes through an earthquake, or an automobile accident, or a disease, or old age, death comes. But our fortune was that Krishna sounded an alarm to warn us that you're sleeping. You're in ignorance, You think you're this gross material body. You think you're the proprietor and enjoyer of all your survey. It is an illusion. This body is on the road to death. This whole material world is like a blazing fire. Don't try to make a comfortable situation in your house when it's on fire. Only a very foolish person, if the house is on fire, do they begin to polish the tables or sweep the floors. They want to get out. Samsara vidavanale divanishi hiyajwale judaiti na khoine upai. Narottam Das Thakur explains that this whole material world is like a blazing fire. And this human form of life, durlabha manava janma lobhiya samsare, it is meant to get out. It is not meant simply to make a nice place. Because whatever nice place you make, it's going to be burnt. And you are going to be burnt in it and with it. This human life is meant for self-realization. Self-realization is that process by which we are liberated, freed from the illusion of the conception that I am subject to birth and death. We are the eternal soul. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayan bhutva bhavata na mabhuya. That the soul is not subject to birth or death. It is undying, it is primeval, eternal. It is part of God. This is the purpose of this human life. To reconnect our consciousness with our own eternal nature. To submerge our mind and senses, not in the ever-changing temporary objects of the senses, but in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is our eternal constitutional position. But we want to postpone it. We know it's right, we've heard it so many times, but still, there's so many things that I have to fulfill in life before I can give time and energy to really pursue the path of Krishna consciousness. And unless Krishna intervenes in our life by sounding some very, very, very urgent alarm, we will continue in this complacency and unconsciousness until death. Tomorrow never comes. The present moment is the only reality. Now is the time for God consciousness. It doesn't mean just becoming a devotee. It means sincerely and intensely as a devotee. Calling out for Krishna, putting Krishna first in our life, first in our family, first in our business, first in everything. It means that nothing else is so important in this entire creation to prevent us from associating with the Lord's devotees and hearing and chanting their glories of the Lord in their company. Nothing is so urgent in this entire creation to keep us from faithfully chanting the Lord of the Lord's names each day. Those 40,000 people that so tragically left their bodies yesterday, most likely not a single one of them had even the slightest expectation that tomorrow morning I will never wake up. They went to sleep at night as they had gone to sleep at night every night of their life. They didn't even have the slightest inclination or suspicion that there was any possibility. They didn't even give it a thought that I will never wake up again. What is the difference between their situation and our own? The scriptures tell us, padam padam yad vipadam na tesham, that this material world is a place where there is danger. Not at some steps. It is not a place where there is danger in most steps. The Bhagavatam says in this material world, there is danger at every step. Are we aware of it? Are we conscious of the reality around us? Dukalayam ashashvatam. We do not know. We depend on astrologers to tell us how long we will live. And we try to make our arrangements of life accordingly. But I guarantee you that of those 40,000 people, many of them had astrologers, that not a single astrologer told them that tomorrow you will not wake up. We cannot depend on anything but Krishna at every moment. We cannot put our faith in any science except the science of pure devotional service to protect us. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no real authenticity in any of the Vedic sciences except the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti guarantees eternal life in loving devotion to the Lord if we simply submissively accept it. But all of these materialistic sciences are unpredictable in this age of Kali Yuga. Shukadev Goswami says, better one moment of full consciousness than a long, long life sleeping in the illusion of Maya. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed in this way. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gaura chanda bole, kodhani drajayo maya, pisachira kole. That wake up sleeping souls. You are sleeping in the lap of Maya. Take the name of God. So we may ask, if God is the well-wishing friend of all living beings, and not a blade of grass moves without his sanction, then how is it he would allow such incredible pain and death to so many people? Either God doesn't exist, and these are things that are just happening by chance, or God has forgotten us. He's playing with the gopis, and he's forgotten us here in this material world, and these things are happening by chance. What is the explanation? Is God cruel? God is the God of love. He is our friend. Would your friend do something like this to you? We must understand the science. As the scriptures and the great saints explain, this material existence is a place to reform those spirit souls who want to enjoy separate from their relationship with God, with Krishna. Those who come to this material world at every moment have a choice. If they act in spiritual consciousness, they come under the direct, loving care of Krishna. If they act for their own sense gratification, then they come under the laws of karma. The laws of karma mean the laws where there are equal reactions for every action everyone performs. There is three types of karma. Karma, vikarma, akarma. Karma means actions that are in accordance with the scriptures. They get a pleasurable material reaction. Vikarma means activities that are in disobedience from the laws of God and the laws of nature. You must accept a painful, suffering condition of life as a reaction for that. And akarma is those activities done in devotion to God which have no reaction at all under the laws of material energy. That is devotional service. But for those who are enjoying and suffering karma and vikarma, we should know that there is individual karmic reaction and there is also collective karmic reaction. But there will be reaction. And Krishna is not directly conducting the laws of karma. He has created the laws of karma, but after his creation, he just lets it go on automatically. And if you choose to be under those laws of karmas, whatever you do, you will automatically get the reaction. Whatever we do, we will automatically get the reaction. If we turn to him, he intervenes. He becomes personally responsible for us. So is it a mystery that such things are happening not only in India, but all over the world? Just a few days ago, I came from the United States of America. America is famous for being a place of prosperity, a place of material enjoyment. Do you know how many Indians stand in line in front of the American embassy every day to try to get a visa to come to America? Do you think they're trying to come to America to do some seva for Krishna? I know but one person of all Indians in history that came to America to do some seva for Krishna. His name was His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He stood in that line to get his visa because he was surrendering to the will of his spiritual master to spread the name of Krishna throughout the world. And he wanted to start with the place which was most materially prosperous and degraded. He didn't care about the prosperity, but he cared about the degradation. All other Indians, they go to America because they're very concerned with the prosperity. They want to be a part of it. Prabhupada cared nothing for the prosperity. He knew, it's most prosperous, so all my countrymen are going there, but it's also the most degraded. That's why I'm going. In the mood of Lord Nityananda, he was thinking that if the Americans, the most degraded people, become Krishna conscious, the whole world will listen. But all the rest of those people standing in line days and days at a time, they want to go there for prosperity. But what type of prosperity is there? Let us just scratch slightly beneath the surface of the veneer of the so-called luxurious way of life. 1992, the year that just passed. How many people died of AIDS? How many people died of cancer? How many people died violently in gang criminal warfare in the streets? But those are small things. Because in order to create their prosperity, they have plundered the earth. They are destroying the resources which are so benevolently being granted by God, Krishna. Drilling Mother Earth deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper for oil, for money, for power. Polluting the waters, the earth, and the air out of greed. Do you think that if we as human society are so cruel to the Mother Earth that is providing everything that we require to survive, do you think that in due course of time she is not going to respond? She has such beautiful, beautiful soils, and we are growing grains for alcohol, tobacco, intoxicating drugs, grains to feed animals just so that we can murder them and drink their blood, testing nuclear bombs in those soils. Dumping all kinds of nuclear, chemical, and all sorts of wastes in those soils. Do you think there will not be a karmic reaction? When half the children in the world practically are killed in the wombs of their mother, when there are millions of animals being killed every year. In the Western world, illicit sex is just the standard behavior. If a teenage child does not have illicit sex, there's considered something wrong with them. They're abnormal. This is the reality behind the veneer of the nice telephones that work, and the nice TVs, and the nice cars, and the nice four-lane highways. Anyways, in the year 1992, the greatest flood in the history of America took place, causing tens of billions of dollars of damage and putting hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people in a complete predicament of no home, no work, no anything. The most terrible hurricane, Andrew, that ever hit the United States. Devastating entirely every house, every building, and entire towns. Billions of dollars of damage. So much suffering and tears, lamentation. The most terrible and violent snowstorm in 100 years that totally immobilized half of the nation.
all the roads, all the airports, all the trains, all the buses, so much electricity, everything came to a standstill. Everything stopped. Billions upon billions upon billions of dollars lost due to that snowfall. One of the worst droughts. Billions and billions of dollars of crops just dried up because there was no rain while it was flooding massively in one section of the country. At the same time, there was total drought just not even 1,000 miles away. And tens and thousands of acres of beautiful forests were burnt in forest fires during those droughts. This all happened this last year. There were over 1,000 tornadoes in America in the last year. Life magazine, the largest selling magazine in America, front page article, 1992, the year of disaster. Why is nature so angry? That is the cover story. I have the magazine at Radha Gopinath Temple for anyone who would like to see. This is America. This is where everyone wants to go to find nice, happy, material facilities. And of everywhere in America, everyone likes California. But the geologists, the astronomers, the astrologers, they all predict that at any minute the whole state will fall in the ocean due to earthquake. They're even predicting that the East Coast will fall into the ocean due to earthquake. Any minute. It's expected. Why? There was earthquakes in the Soviet Union, earthquakes in China, earthquakes in Iran over the past few years. Hundreds of thousands of people killed. And just yesterday, not only in our own country, but in our own state of Maharashtra, such an unfortunate tragedy took place. What is happening? Cannot human society make the connection? That all of our aggressive pursuits for prosperity are not creating a happy situation because we are so irresponsible in following the laws of God, in living in harmony with nature. We are causing so much violence to the earth and to the innocent creatures of the earth that the laws of karma must strike back. And it's true. Krishna's in Vrindavan playing with the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls. And he's playing on his flute. And he's inviting us, come join me. But we are more interested in this world of birth and death. So there will be individual and collective reaction. And we should know in this age of Kali Yuga, because there is so much violent and sinful activity, so many activities by so many people. This is the land of Bharatvarsha, India, the land of Dharma. For a Westerner, we don't come here for material enjoyment. We have enough material enjoyment in the West. We come here looking for people who will show us the way to God realization. But we find cinemas with all signs of people stabbing each other to death and half-naked ladies in permit rooms, and all sorts of advertisements based on greed and exploitation. If the people of India, who have so much of a spiritual heritage, so much opportunity to perfect their lives, if they behave in this irreligious way, there will be massive destructive reactions to this nation. For one who much is given, much is expected. Every citizen of India is born with the inheritance of the previous saints and sages of this land and all the great avatars who took birth in this land. It is the inheritance of every citizen upon birth. And it is our responsibility to take this gift and use it for the welfare of human society throughout the world. Not to imitate those who have no dharma at all. Therefore, the reaction will be far greater, far more severe. It has to be, because there's more responsibility, more knowledge. So yes, Krishna has created these laws of karma, and he's just letting us live with our own karma. But he's telling us that if the world at large simply becomes humble devotees, this world will become the spiritual world, full of greater than any of the heavenly planets. But as long as the world is chasing after the mirages of material enjoyment, then it will be like a hellish planet, where we do not know what will come upon us from one moment to the next. But somehow or other, this is the situation we're in. So what to do? To get out of this world and to help as many other people out of this world as possible. It's like a house on fire, and there are so many alarms and sirens going off warning us, get out now, don't wait, tomorrow may never come. But what does it mean to get out of this world? It does not mean to simply die and go to the spiritual world. It means to realize the spiritual world within our own hearts. To be in this world, but not of this world. To get out of this world means to get out of the ignorance and exploitation of this world. To be with Krishna. To be in communion with Krishna. To be serving Krishna with our every act, our every word, and our every thought. This is our goal in life. This is what we must pursue in our life. How many more alarms and warnings do we have to hear? How many more tragedies do we have to see before we take it seriously? You see, we could be talking about the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna tonight. And it would actually be very pleasing to our hearts to hear. What I'm speaking tonight is not very pleasing to speak or to hear, but is necessary. Because unless you first understand tonight's lecture, you'll never really be able to take seriously the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are not just some Hindu pious form of entertainment.
the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. For a devotee, they are the shelter which we must urgently surrender our minds and our hearts to be relieved from the burning fire of material existence. Until you understand the truth of material existence, you can never have the proper consciousness to approach the spiritual existence. You'll take it as just, oh, very nice. I laugh when I hear the funny pastimes, and I cry when I hear the sad pastimes, and I feel scary when I hear the chivalrous pastimes, and I enjoy very nice these leelas. That is nice, that we enjoy the leelas. But these leelas and these beautiful kirtans of the holy name and bhajans, they are Krishna's mercy in which he descended to give us shelter, relief from birth and death, from suffering and pain, from illusion. And in Weiss, we understand the intensely urgent situation we're in. We will not call out the name of Krishna like a child crying out for its mother. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We will not hear the beautiful stories of Mahaprabhu and Krishna's Leela with a real sense that I must hear this and absorb this and surrender to that beautiful personality who is enacting such wonderful pastimes in the spiritual world. I must surrender to him, not enjoy him, but serve him with my life, with my soul. And therefore, Krishna puts miseries in this material world to help us to become serious about spiritual life. It is not that those persons who died simply died. They set an example for the rest of the world of how seriously we must come, and then they will take birth again, and the example shown will be a history to make them more serious in their next life. But if we don't become serious, if we remain blind, deaf, and dumb to all Krishna's messages, then we are unfortunate. Let us become fortunate. Let us take the greatest pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the Spirit, that they are my refuge. Sri Balabhacharya, he propagated the beautiful mantra, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mam, that Lord Sri Krishna is my shelter, he is my refuge. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us that when we chant the holy name of Krishna, we should cultivate the feelings of separation from Krishna. That Krishna, I'm in this world of exploitation. I'm in this world of birth and death. I want you. I need you. Please be merciful to me. Grant me your love, because in your love, in your divine remembrance, I never have to see birth and death, not even in this world. So although, as soft-hearted devotees, we should feel sorrow and even weep for those who suffer. But at the same time, we should pray. We should pray that all living beings will learn the lessons from the reactions of the conditions that we are creating ourselves.
It is not that God is cruel. We are creating these situations ourselves.
And it should make us compassionate, loving toward all living beings.
That there is so much suffering, needless suffering in this world due to karmic reaction. My dear Lord, please, I am giving my life to you. Let me be an instrument. Let your siren, let your alarm sound through me, through my words, and through my actions to wake people up to the real life, the pure life of devotion to Krishna. And each and every one of us can be such an alarm clock, such a siren, such an instrument for Krishna. Whether we are grihasthas in our business and work, housewives, sannyasis, or brahmacharis, if we simply learn how to associate with devotees, in that association, chant the holy name of God sincerely, urgently, and if we learn especially how to let the example of our life guide others toward the path of God consciousness, we can do the greatest service. We can be instruments of mercy and compassion in this world of uncertainty. This is our chance. But let us take it now. Let us double, triple, and quadruple and more our conviction in our commitment to service to Krishna consciousness. And Maya is very strong, and many inconceivable events may take place in our spiritual path, but we should never give up our connection to Krishna. Never give up our connection to that divine disciplic succession of his mercy, which is unstoppable, which cannot be conquered by any force of Maya. We must stand together and help one another in this war against Maya and do great service for God and for humanity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I was on the 14th floor of this building, Gong's Tower. And when I met him at the airport early in the morning, he was really humbling. Whole day he was with me, but every time he was telling me, whenever he was getting the opportunity, he was just telling me what happened this morning. And at that moment, he was telling me that I was chanting my round and asking my wife, Reshma, to chant. We have chanted the best rounds of our life on those 45 seconds. Because at the 14th floor of the building, we were just thinking, I was asking my wife to take up the children, and I will take my retreat with me. And any time now, we are going to just what is going to happen. So my point is, question is, actually, this question, I am all the time thinking that what we must have one question, how we should chant the name of God in every program, because chanting is the most important point. You are telling us, we are listening, we are reading newspaper, but our nature has become like a goat who is being slaughtered and another goat is just seeing and barging and eating wonderful grass. He is not at all concerned that within few seconds, I will be also slaughtered. But none of us are at all concerned what have happened to, actually everybody, many people are watching television, many people are doing their normal thing from morning to evening, except those people who are really suffering. So why this is happening? Are we really those animals or goats?
That is your choice. Whether you want to stand in line with the goats. Queen Kunti prayed that, Krishna, I welcome these calamities. Let them happen again and again. Because when they come, I remember you. Very nicely, I remember you. And when I remember you, I never have to see birth and death. We must learn to chant the holy name of the Lord with such sincerity and attention. It is said that experience is the best teacher, and a fool learns by no other way. Do we have to wait for an earthquake to come to chant the holy name sincerely? Why not just hear what the Shastra says, hear what the sadhus say, and understand that I should chant the holy name of the Lord seriously? An intelligent person, by hearing submissively, will take shelter of Krishna in the same way. Actually, if we are sincere, then the words of the Lord's devotees should resound in our hearts as much as that earthquake. To the degree that truth is not resounding in our hearts to the same extent of that earthquake, that is to the degree we are really not very sincere. But if we approach the words with reverence, respect, and a sense of urgency, then we will feel the resounding of the earthquake of those words in our heart, and they will make us run to the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But sometimes also earthquakes will come to just push us that much further up. But we don't need earthquakes. All we need is the association of devotees and a sincere heart, that we can attain the perfection of life. We have read the histories of so many great devotees of the Lord who perfected their lives. Oftentimes, calamities and tragedies help us take the word of God seriously, but it's ultimately hearing the word of God that will bring us to that real quality of chanting his name. Because after all, Raghunath Das was chanting more serious than his life during the earthquake, but everybody else in the building were simply afraid. Why? Because he heard the word of God. He heard the word of God, and when he heard the earthquake, it was just vibrating the words of his guru and all the sadhus in his heart, and he said, this is my time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any other questions? So, Kardama Munichi, please answer. After the translation, we will have the chance to put into practice the blessed opportunity to resound the holy name. In fact, we want to chant the holy name in such a way that it creates an earthquake of transcendental sound vibration. Let the rumbling of the name of God resound throughout the universe and bring death to our illusions and ego.
और वो सब कारणों के कारण हैं। और कई बार हमारे अंदर मन में एक प्रश्न आता है कि श्री कृष्ण भगवान सब कारणों के कारण हैं, सिर्फ कुछ कारणों के नहीं बल्कि सभी कारणों के, और कृष्ण सबके परम मित्र हैं, तो फिर ऐसा क्यों है कि हमारे स्वयं के जीवन में या दूसरों के जीवन में हम ऐसी विपत्ति और दुख को देखते हैं? हम जानते हैं कि भगवान की इच्छा बिना तो चिंता भी नहीं होता, फिर ऐसे दुख क्यों आते हैं? जैसे कि कल हम लोगों ने इस भूकंप के बारे में सुना, वास्तव में ये तो एक अलार्म क्लॉक की तरह है, घड़ी की तरह है, जो कि हमें बता रही है कि हमें सावधान रहना चाहिए। कृष्ण भगवान कहते हैं कि मैं ही समय हूँ। वास्तव में हमें इस समय देखना चाहिए कि हर समय, हर क्षण जो है, घड़ी का जो हर सुई जो है, वो हमें एक क्षण मृत्यु के करीब ले आ रही है। लेकिन कृष्ण भगवान काल के रूप में तो हैं ही, और कभी कभी वो कृपा करके ऐसा भी कलारम भेजते हैं कि जिससे हम अपनी सही स्थिति की ओर जागृत हो सकें। हम अज्ञान के कारण हम भूल गए हैं कि हम कौन हैं, हमारा उद्देश्य क्या है। वास्तव में अलग अलग प्रकार के अलार्म होते हैं, जैसे कई बार जब बिल्डिंग में आग लग जाती है तो भी एक तरह अलार्म होता है, और ये भी जो भूकंप है ये भी एक अलार्म है। 40,000 लोगों की मृत्यु हो गई, और उनमें से कई लोगों ने ऐसे कभी सोचा नहीं था कि हम जो है सुबह उठ नहीं पाएंगे। तो मृत्यु जो है वो आनी है, अगर भूकंप से नहीं तो बीमारी से नहीं तो एक्सीडेंट से, मृत्यु को तो आना ही है। हमारा सौभाग्य यह है कि कृष्ण भगवान हमें बता रहे हैं कि हम जो है मालिक नहीं हैं, हम इस प्रकार के जो है एक अग्नि, रत्ती अग्नि में हैं, और हमारा एक ही उद्देश्य होना चाहिए कि हमें इससे बाहर निकलना है। ये भौतिक संसार जो है एक अग्नि के समान है, और हमें अपने आप को पहचानना है भगवान के दास के रूप में, और हमें इस शाश्वत जीवन को प्राप्त करना है। हमें कृष्ण को पुकारना है और कृष्ण को अपने जीवन में प्रथम स्थान देना है। तो ये संसार जो है इसकी तुलना की गई कि यहाँ पर हर कदम पर खतरा है, हमें हर कदम पर कृष्ण को स्मरण करना चाहिए, हमें शुद्ध भक्ति पर जो है अपनी श्रद्धा रखनी चाहिए, क्योंकि भक्ति का जो तरीका है वो हमें शाश्वत जीवन का जो है वचन दे सकता है, जबकि भौतिक विज्ञान जो है हमें इस तरह कोई वचन नहीं दे सकता। सुखदेव गोस्वामी महाराज कहते हैं कि अगर एक क्षण भी पूर्ण चेतना में बिताया जाए तो वो ज़्यादा अच्छा है कि लंबी उम्र जो है माया में बिताई जाए। और श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु कहते हैं कि जीव जागो, आप माया की गोद में क्यों सो रहे हो? तो हमारे मन में प्रश्न आ सकता है कि हम भगवान जो है ऐसा दुख क्यों भेज रहे हैं, कि क्या भगवान जो है दयालु नहीं है, या भगवान हमको भूल गए हैं, या भगवान इतने क्रूर हैं? तो इसका इस प्रकार से समझाया जाता है कि भौतिक अस्तित्व ये वो स्थान है कि जो लोग भगवान से अलग भोग करना चाहते हैं उनके लिए है। इस भौतिक दुनिया में आने पर भी हमारे अंदर ये दोनों में चयन करने के लिए एक च्वाइस है, या तो हम कर्मों के नियम के विधान के अंदर आ सकते हैं या कृष्ण के नियमों के अंदर आ सकते हैं। तो तीन प्रकार के कर्म हैं, कर्म, अकर्म और विकर्म। जो शास्त्र के आज्ञानुसार जो कर्म किए जाते हैं उसको कर्म कहते हैं, जो शास्त्र के विरुद्ध भगवान के नियमों के विरुद्ध होते हैं उसको विकर्म कहते हैं, और जो भक्ति के कार्य होते हैं उसको अकर्म कहते हैं। जिस तरह से हर एक व्यक्ति का अपना अपना कर्म का फल होता है, उसी तरह से एक सामूहिक कर्म फल भी होता है। और जैसे कि अभी पिछले साल जैसे अमेरिका में, जो कि ऐसा देश है जहाँ पे लोग सब समृद्धि के लिए जाते हैं, सिर्फ श्रील प्रभुपाद जी ऐसे व्यक्ति थे जो कि वहाँ कृष्ण सेवा के लिए गए थे, नहीं तो हर व्यक्ति वहाँ पर समृद्धि के लिए जाता है। लेकिन वास्तव में समृद्धि के जो बाहर की जो दिखाई पड़ती है उसके भीतर क्या है, आप देखेंगे तो पिछले साल 1992 में कई लोग जो है, कई लाखों लोग एड्स, कैंसर और अनेक प्रकार के जो लड़ाइयों से मृत्यु हो गई है। और ये इसका फल है क्योंकि हजारों जानवरों की, लाखों जानवरों की हत्या हो रही है, गर्भपात हो रहे हैं, और ये जो पानी और धरती और हवा का प्रदूषण कर रहे हैं, तो ये तो कर्मों का रिएक्शन जो है, तो प्रतिफल तो जरूर होगा ही। और जैसे कि हम जानते हैं कि 1992 पिछले साल ही ऐसी बाढ़ आई है कि कई अरबों डॉलर की जो है नुकसान हो गया है, लोगों का घर भी चले गए हैं, उनकी नौकरी, उनका धंधा सब कुछ तबाह हो गया है, हज़ारों लोगों की मृत्यु हो गई है। और ऐसा भी एक तूफान आया है जिससे कि हर शहर, इस शहर में जो है हर घर का जो है पूर्ण रूप से नष्ट हो गया है। और ऐसे भी तूफान आए हैं कि जब ट्रेन, बस और एयरप्लेन सब कुछ रुक गए हैं, और दूसरी ओर कुछ मीलों की दूरी पर जो है ऐसा सूखा पड़ा है जिसके कारण जो है अग्नि जल गई है और कई एकड़ जो है जंगल वो भी जल गया है। तो ये सब जो है, एक जो लाइफ मैगजीन है इसमें इस प्रकार की रिपोर्ट दी गई है कि ये जो प्रकृति है इतनी क्रूर क्यों है। और कैलिफोर्निया जो कि ऐसे लोग समझते हैं कि बहुत ही भोगने लायक स्थान है, लेकिन ऐसे सब जो वहाँ के जो जो भूवैज्ञानिक है वो जानते हैं कि कभी भी वो जो स्टेट है कभी भी वो पानी में गिर सकता है भूकंप के कारण। और इसी तरह से हमने सुना है कि चाइना में और ईरान में रशिया में भी कई लाखों लोगों की मृत्यु हो चुकी है भूकंप के कारण। तो ये हमें समझना चाहिए कि ये सब जो है वास्तव में भगवान के नियमों का नहीं पालन करने के कारण उसका कर्मों का जो है प्रतिफल है। और फिर भी इसके साथ साथ भगवान हमें निमंत्रण भी दे रहे हैं कि आओ मेरे धाम में और मेरे साथ जो है आप मेरी लीला में भाग लो, लेकिन हम इतने मूर्ख हैं कि हम इस दुनिया जो जन्म और मृत्यु की दुनिया है उसमें रहना चाहते हैं। वास्तव में ये भारत भूमि जो है ये भगवान के बारे में जानने के लिए भगवत साक्षात्कार के लिए है, लेकिन आज हम देखते हैं कि सिनेमा और अनेक प्रकार के जो है नग्न अर्ध नग्न स्त्री और इस प्रकार के लोग, इस प्रकार के प्रदूषण की जो है प्रवृत्ति ज़्यादा बढ़ रही है। और अगर भारत के लोग इस तरह से व्यवहार करेंगे तो इसका बहुत भयंकर प्रतिफल होगा। और ये वही भूमि है जहाँ पर भगवान के अनेक अवतार हुए हैं, संतों के अवतार हुए हैं। तो हमें इसके लिए हमें इस विज्ञान का उपयोग दुनिया के कल्याण के लिए करना चाहिए। तो कृष्ण भगवान ये कह रहे हैं कि हमें नम्र भक्त बनना है और इससे हम ये नरकीय लोक से मुक्त हो सकते हैं। हमें संसार से बाहर निकलना है और जितने लोगों को निकाल सके निकालना है। और बाहर निकलने का मतलब क्या है कि हमें अपने सही स्वभाव को जानना है, जो हमारे हृदय में आध्यात्मिक जगत है उसको पहचानना है, कृष्ण की सेवा करना है। तो आज ये जो प्रवचन बताया गया ये किसी को भी सुनने में बोलने में अच्छा नहीं लगता, लेकिन ये सुनना आवश्यक है जिससे कि हम कृष्ण के नाम और कृष्ण की लीला को गंभीरता रूप से स्वीकार कर सकें। ये सिर्फ कोई मनोरंजन नहीं है कि कृष्ण की लीला में कभी हमें रोना आता है, कभी हंसना आता है, कभी डर लगता है, ये बल्कि वास्तव में ये आध्यात्मिक सत्य है। जब तक हम भौतिक दुनिया की ये जो स्थिति को सही रूप से नहीं पहचानेंगे तब तक हम कृष्ण के नाम और कृष्ण की लीला को सही रूप से नहीं स्वीकार कर पाएंगे। हमें कृष्ण को समर्पण करना है, जैसे कि वल्लभाचार्य ने बताया है श्री कृष्ण शरणम मम। तो कृष्ण ही हमारे आधार हैं। श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु ने बताया है कि जब हम कीर्तन जब करते हैं तो हमें भगवान से विरह की भावना पैदा करनी चाहिए कि कृष्ण मैं आपको चाहता हूँ, मेरे पर कृपा करो, मेरे को अपना प्रेम दो, और क्योंकि आपके स्मरण में ही जो है मुझे फिर पुनर्जन्म नहीं होगा। तो हमें दुख तो होना ही चाहिए और लेकिन साथ साथ ये प्रार्थना भी करनी चाहिए कि हम सब इससे कुछ सीखें कि हमें जो है इस संसार से कैसे बाहर निकलना है। हमें भगवान से कहना चाहिए कि मुझे अपने अपने कार्य में एक अस्त्र बनाओ, कि मेरे को एक अलार्म क्लॉक बनाओ जिससे कि मैं लोगों को जागृत कर सकूं, मेरे शब्दों से और मेरे उदाहरण से मैं लोगों को कृष्ण प्रेम की ओर ले जा सकूं। और हमें से हर एक व्यक्ति उस तरह का एक अलार्म बन सकता है कि हम जब एकत्र होकर भगवान का नाम कीर्तन करते हैं और भक्तों का संग करते हैं, अपने उदाहरण से हम जो है लोगों को भगवत मार्ग पर लगा सकते हैं, हम भगवान की कृपा का जो है एक अस्त्र बन सकते हैं। माया बहुत गंभीर है, लेकिन हमें ये जो परंपरा का जो संबंध है उसको समझना चाहिए, और वो जो है कभी माया के द्वारा वश में नहीं हो सकता है। हमें एकत्र होकर दूसरे को एक दूसरे को मदद करनी चाहिए। और ये प्रश्न के जवाब में महाराज ने बताया कि बुद्धि महारानी कहती हैं कि दुख तो फिर से आने चाहिए भले, लेकिन दुख आने से आपका स्मरण होता है और आपका स्मरण होने से पुनर्जन्म नहीं होता है। तो हमारे पास ये चॉइस है कि या तो हमें हम श्रवण करके जान सकते हैं या अपने अनुभव से जान सकते हैं। ये जरूरी नहीं कि हमें भूकंप के लिए वेट करना है, इंतज़ार करना है, लेकिन हम साधु और शास्त्र से जान सकते हैं कि हमें भगवान का नाम का पूर्ण आश्रय लेना है और इस तरह से ऐसा भूकंप पैदा करना है कि जिससे हमारा अज्ञान और मिथ्या अहंकार पूर्ण रूप से मर जाए।
हरिवो 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 कृष्णस नेम सो स्वीट सो प्योर सो फुल ऑफ ब्यूटी एंड लव। This world that we live in. What a contrast is the name of God. And the kirtan of the holy name, where the devotees assemble together to share joy and feelings of devotion, and sincerely helping one another, encouraging one another to find eternal life and shelter in the holy kirtan of Lord Hari. Everyone, please. The quality of our consciousness as we are hearing and chanting the holy name is the vehicle which will transport us to the feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So let us chant very sincerely, with a sense of real urgency. Let us raise our arms and most loudly cry out for the divine grace of Lord Hari.